Thank you guys for coming out for another night. You guys are champions. This has indeed been a very, very rich time. And I thank you, Mark and Bridget and the eldership, for this phenomenal opportunity just to be able to share. I stand here with quivering knees and shaking lips, or the other way around. God is good, and each and every one of us has a story to tell of his goodness. And tonight, my heart just overflows. I had a dream about a week or two ago, and I love to go to bed at nighttime, and I actually ask the Lord to give me dreams. But invariably, I wake up in the morning, and I have clean forgotten what I dreamt. So I have got to go to bed again that next night just to have another dream. And guess what? I forget. But the other night, it was about a week and a half or so ago, I had a dream, and I woke up, and I went back to sleep again. So I had three dreams in one night. And in the morning, I woke up, and I thought, maybe, Lord, you were telling me something. And as we were singing the second song about his glory pouring out, I just wanted to share this dream that I had with you, And it was a dream where I had a canvas and paintbrushes and jars of paint, and accidentally my elbow knocked over a jar of gold paint. And anyone who's bought gold paint is pretty pricey. I was very quickly trying to scoop it all back and shove it into the bottle. And I went back to sleep. Because I woke up and then I went back to sleep. And then I dreamt again. But this time, again, I knocked over a bottle of gold paint. But this paint, it had gold glitter in it. And it was like falling off the table. And I was trying to scoop it up. And I was like, Deborah, you silly klutz, you know, for spilling and being so clumsy. And I was trying to scoop all this paint up again and shove it back into the bottle and to tighten the lid. The third dream I had again, I knocked over the paint. Do you think God was telling me something? I knocked over the paint, but there were these gold flakes that were just, I couldn't catch them, trying to put them into the jar. And when I woke up, the Lord reminded me of this dream, and I thought of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says that there's treasure in earthen jars. And you and I are those jars of clay. And as we heard so beautifully put this morning, being on the potter's wheel, being malleable, being that pot that the Lord has made. And he has filled it with his treasure. And every one of us that have acknowledged and bowed our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and made him Lord of our lives has been filled with that treasure. And I believe that the Lord is wanting us to be tipped over and to let that treasure flow off the table, onto the floor, out of the door, and down in the streets, and wherever we go, that this treasure will be resplendent. We sang that earlier on about the glory filling. Yes, you know, the glory of the Lord is here because you are here. And because you have brought him with you. There's no doubt about that. But when we go into our workplaces, when we go into our places, school or universities, how quick we try to screw that lid on so tightly. And we kind of hide our light under the bed. And I just feel the Lord says, there is a time is now is for the lids to pop off. You brought that the other night, last night. The box, the lid is to come off, right? Get out the box. Open ourselves up and just to allow that glory just to flow out of us. Just because you're smiling at me, I know that you're all full of the glory, huh? And it is, it's a beautiful thing that we have been chosen, as we so eloquently heard last night, that we've been chosen, we've been adopted, we've been sanctified, we've been set free. So let us allow that glory and that light to shine. Thank you, Lord. I got through my first few sentences. God is good. Honestly, I love life. I'm very, very thankful for life. This is my third kick at the bucket, so we would say. I can share that, right? A couple of years ago, I was here and I shared my testimony, how God has saved me. I've had 2 liver transplants, and I'm now at my 3rd attempt at this life on this wonderful planet. And sometimes people think I'm a little too over the top. I get a little bit too noisy or a little bit too lively. But let me tell you something. Life is worth living. Life is worth living. And I want to speak to you very briefly about 2 kings. 2 kings. The one guy, he was King Amaziah, and the other guy was King Josiah. And we can look them up in your Bible. And if I can encourage you, I know we all use our little PDAs, right? Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Because let me tell you, when we open up our books, the pages come alive, and we can find things, and we read beyond what the screen tells us. So it's for convenience, I get it, that we use our phony Bibles. For convenience sake, but honestly, don't let this be the rule, okay? Use your Bible. Become acquainted with your Bible. It comes alive, and yeah, so if I can just encourage you on that. Now, if I can just find it. In 2 Chronicles 25, in verse 1, can I hear the rustle? And then you actually learn where all the books of the Bible are, too. Okay, where is 2 Chronicles getting? Just kidding. But anyway, 2 Chronicles, we hear about King Amaziah. And King Amaziah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what was right. But this one thing, he did not do it with his whole heart. You know, can you imagine? He did everything that was right. He pulled down the idol Asherah poles. He loved God, but he did not do it with all his heart. So we can do things that are right. We can come to service. We can evangelize. We can set out the tables and serve. But if our hearts are not in it, it's empty. We can do what is right, but our hearts need to be in it. And the second king I want to talk to you about is Josiah. And he is found in 2 Kings, also in the Old Testament, chapter 23 and verse 25. Jolly good. 2 Kings 23 and verse 25. And before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his soul, with all his heart, and with all his might. And that is what Josiah was known for, because there was no other king before him or after him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. And if you remember in the New Testament, when the rich young ruler asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And that is in Matthew 26, verse 36 to 40. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And we can find that in Deuteronomy 4, 6 as well, where it says, hear, O Israel, that the Lord your God is one God, and we are to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our might. And when we have that, and in fact, in the old, the Jews, they wore a phylactery, a box on their head and a box on their wrist to remind them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. That it doesn't just become a religion, but it becomes a passion. That we become enthusiastic. What does it mean to become enthusiastic? I looked up some of the words in the dictionary. Over the top. To be zealous. To be earnest. To be lively. To be eager. To be passionate. To be wholehearted and to be excited. Oh, show me a little bit of emotion in this house. Come on, people. I can see that. Come on, let's just show a little bit more emotion. I know it's nearly bedtime. But it's to be enthusiastic. And Paul talks to us about earnestly desiring the spiritual gifts. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. To earnestly. Earnestly, it means to be enthusiastic about the spiritual gifts. It means it's like wanting them and we wholeheartedly looking out for these things. And when I looked up the word enthusiasm, this blew me away totally, okay? It comes from the Greek word. Who's Greek in the house? Oh, good. Now I can make a mess. It doesn't matter. But if you look it up in the book, it's like an enthusiast, okay? En means in. Theos, in God. In Theos, in God. Everything that we do enthusiastically is because we are in God. Isn't that cool? Seriously, I started to get enthusiastic about that because every time I'm excited, every time I feel enthusiastic, it's not because I'm doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it because I'm in God, I'm in Theos, I'm enthusiastic. So therefore, it's no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So therefore, I can do the things like speak to a crowd of people where I'd normally want to hide in the back row. I can be enthusiastic about standing here in front of you because it is not I, but it is Christ who lives in me that gives me the strength to be able to do the things that I cannot do in my own strength. Amen. In Theos. So every time we do something, if we feel anxious about something, let's become enthusiastic about facing that because in Christ, I am an overcomer. In Christ, I can do all things. He is my deliverer. He is my strength. He is my heart song. So when I'm down and I start to worship him, passion starts to arise in my soul. Passion enters into my heart, and therefore the outliving of that is that gold that flows out and the glory of God is released. Isn't that fun? Well, honestly, that changed me because a little while ago, I said to Mikey, I am so tired. I don't think I can do this anymore. Ministry can get a little bit tough. I don't know if anybody else has ever felt like that. But I was just feeling like, seriously, I am tired. And I started to read and study on this, and my heart has not been the same since then. Yes, do we get tired? But you know what? We just find ourselves, we quieten ourselves in his presence. When we come into the presence of the Lord, all things grow faintly dim, and we start to see things in perspective. And that's why I think times like this of just coming away, getting away from our normal duties and habits that we do, and just taking that time of coming away and looking at this beauty that surrounds us, not getting stuck on the 401 with the 407 or wherever it is that we commute, right, and just smelling exhaust fumes, but we can sit here and just take in and ask God to realign us, to recalibrate the way we think and the way we see each other and how we love one another. Mm-hmm. So that's basically in a nutshell. and my heart, like this evening, we were sitting at the table and we were just chatting, and I just said, we are never to lose the wonder and never to lose the awe of who Jesus is, because our God is coming back for us. Our Jesus is the soon and coming King, and when he comes, he says, will I still find faith on this earth? Will I find faith? And I don't think he just wants to come and find a lot of people doing good things. He wants to find a people that are passionate about him, that love him, that have that first love passion burning in their hearts, right? Because that is what we are known for, is our love one for another. And a God who is ever faithful, who never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I have a second image that the Lord showed me during worship, and I just saw all these reeds, and this wind was blowing through the reeds, and the sweetest melody was coming out of these reeds. And that's what you and I are called to be, is just to be you. Bridge, just to be you. You are the best you there could ever be. Nobody else could be like you, right? But God hasn't called me to be Bridget. He's called me to be Deborah. And the same with each and every one of us here. And that the Holy Spirit, when we are just who we are, full of love and full of passion, the Holy Spirit comes and he just blows upon us and causes sweet melody. And there's a sweetness and there's a fragrance that comes from that. Just by being who you are, that he has created, that you are reflecting who he is and his glory. Right, and I just felt this could possibly be a time of refreshing here tonight. Mikey, do you want to say something else? Anybody want to add anything? But just a time of refreshing where we can just quietly, Holy Spirit, Father, I just thank you. I just thank you just for your sweetness. I thank you just for the sweet fragrance of your presence in this place, Lord. And Father, when we are tired and weary, I thank you that you are the one that comes and lifts us up. That, Lord, that you are the one when we are not sure of what way to go next, that you are the one that takes us by our right hand, and that you lead us, and that you are the one who guides us. And Father, I thank you that when the storms of life come to overtake us, you say in your word that the waters will not overtake us and the fires will not consume us. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you just for the peace of knowing. And I speak your Jehovah Shalom, the Shalom of God over this place. That, Father, where our hearts are quiet, that you would speak to us individually. And I just thank you for the winds of the Spirit just to blow and to bring your refreshing. Because we are hungry and we are thirsty for the more of you, Lord. So thirsty for the more of you.